Yep. So obviously we got to give a special shout out to women's basketball, college women's basketball to be exact. South Carolina. They did it. They did it. Miss Staley. They did it. Undefeated season. One of the top defenses throughout the season and through the tournament. And it showed in the championship game against Iowa and Caitlin Clark. Because I think Caitlin Clark went off about 18 or something like that in the first, either I think it was the first half or the first, not the first quarter. It wasn't the first quarter. It was definitely the first half, scorching hot. It was interesting to see how they would adjust to it. They buckled down and they took the ball away from Caitlin a few times. And ultimately, I would say Caitlin went out and did her job. She cooled down in the second half. And let's just say I wouldn't even put it, because to put it on her teammates who had a difficult time showing up in the second half, I can't give them that type of credit. I have to give the credit to South Carolina's defense overall. But here's what I want to say. I mean, shout out to South Carolina. Shout out to Don. We got to stop. We got to stop with the narratives. I know it helps the drama, but it's getting old at this point. I didn't like the narrative that UCLA and LSU had came out with, where they tried to depict LSU as the evil side versus UCLA being, and I talked about this before, UCLA being the glitz and glamour and buttery and wholesome. I didn't like that at all. That came from a writer from the LA Times. Which since then has issued an apology, and I'm not sure what their punishment was, but that was nasty. Because the thing is, this has probably been one of the most highlighted seasons outside of, you know, when they first started, you know. And the reason why I want to bring that up is because all these women have been hated on, you know what I'm saying? From the Angel Reese's to the Caitlin Clarks. And the thing is, they put the racial aspect in there. You know, nobody predicted Iowa in 2022, 23, 24 would have a guard who would be compared to Steph Curry in women's college basketball. You know, Angel Reese is a solid player. She could damn near put up a double-double. You know what I'm saying? Just easily, effortless, you know. But I can't sit up here and lie and say that majority of their of the attention that they're getting is because of the drama. And a lot of, and some of it is off the court drama that came from on the court. And Angela Reese, Caitlin Clark doesn't do too much talking. She got a machine behind her. So she is, her PR is phenomenal. They're not going to have her, you know what I'm saying, set tripping a lot like that. That's just what it is. They're going to say, hey, I know you want to get out there and say some of this, say some of that. And probably majority of the shit that she does say is on the court. But we've seen her dad check her out the gate during the games. You know what I mean? With Angel Reese, is one of those things where she's fighting. She's a young girl. And yes, that's not giving her an excuse to act the way she's acting or she has acted, you know, and she hasn't really done much. But I mean, we gotta give them the same type of leeway that we give to the male players. I think just because we're so used to the whole macho shit, shit talking, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Like even female battle rap is not fully accepted. We not tuning in for that, you know what I'm saying, most of the time. You know, it's looked at how the WNBA / women's college basketball is looked at, you know. But you do have certain people that stand out. You do have certain teams that stand out. We are supporting certain coaches, et cetera. But they don't give our full support. I didn't understand the racial component when it came to Caitlin Clark when Ice Cube came out and offered her $5 million for 8 games, knowing that she wouldn't really make that type of money inside the league, not outside, not endorsements or anything like that. But inside the league, she probably won't make that for the next 5 to 6, 5 to 7 years playing in the league. You know what I mean? But instantly they went the racial route and said, hey, so you couldn't find another player to offer that money to outside of her. And she wasn't just saying Caitlin Clark. She means a white player. Yeah, we could have. I think I'm pretty sure Ice Cube could have found another player, a black player, that he could have offered that. But they not Caitlin Clark. And I think that's what we're missing about this. You know what I mean? South Carolina has won the championship. They are the best team in women's college basketball. But there's not one player on that team that's going to go to the big three and bring ratings. Caitlin Clark is. And that's just the truth. The truth is, Caitlin Clark is going to go down as one of women's college basketball top players of all time. Top two, top three, wherever you want to put her, right? Because I remember the Shaniqua Holdclaws and the Maya Moores and the Rebecca Lobos and Lisa Leslie's and Cheryl Swoops of the world, Diana Taurasi. You know, she got a long list of players. And to be honest, we're talking about college, right? So we're gonna talk about Candace Parker, Diana, et cetera. But, you know, she did something that a lot of those players didn't do, which shattered a lot of goddamn records. She had a lot of points. She was putting up a lot of buckets. And y'all don't even know the rest of her teammates. You know what I mean? Y'all don't. Y'all know more about LSU team for her torching them motherfuckers. You know what I mean? So let's be honest here. Let's just be honest. Let's stop making it a racial thing and let's just start comparing games at the end of the day. Because if Caitlin Clark was black, then she probably wouldn't even be compared to Steph. At this point, y'all probably start comparing her to a whole total. Y'all did this last time with I can't remember her name, but I was comparing her to Kobe. And the only reason is because she trained with Kobe. And she talked with Kobe. She had a relationship with Kobe. And so y'all said she's going to be the next Kobe until, you know, Gigi was a thing. And that's going to be the next Kobe. But, you know, it's one of those things where, dog, like, I get it. You know, I don't like the fact that not so much of the WNBA, but when it comes to women's college basketball, it feels like it's more race driven now. I don't like that. I don't like that because if you look at the teams, don't matter how many whites or blacks are on the team, collectively, they're on one team and they fuck with each other. You see what I'm saying? It just so happened that Caitlin Clark is just one of those talents that have come along and she dope. You know what I'm saying? She's dope. Now, when she gets to the WNBA, man, I'm not sure what's going to be able to be. We'll see if it translates. We've seen a lot of top players come out of college, no matter what sport it is. I remember when Reggie Bush got drafted. You know what I mean? And we thought he was going to go into the league, at least mimicking what he did at SC. And it wasn't like that at all. Yeah, he had his moments, but he was definitely, it wasn't like that. His NFL career doesn't even come close to what he did in college. Not at all. And a lot of players come into the league. Tyler Hansbrough at one point. I'm not sure if anybody has broken a record, but Tyler Hansbrough scored the most points in college of all time, getting major buckets. Major buckets. You can't even tell me how long Tyler Hansbrough was in the league, and you don't even know what teams he was on. So sometimes the college game don't translate over into the pros. We have yet to see that. But she's a cold-ass player, cold-ass player. So I can understand. I'll put it to you like this. I bet you if Caitlin Clark was to accept that $5 million and go play in the big three, watch those ratings go up. They just posted the ratings for the championship game. And that was the highest rated game since the 90s when the league first started. So stop with all this, dog. I mean, we don't want players to hate on our players, and I get that. But we got to start doing the same thing. It's the whole racial thing. Like, it's ugly. I would say this. Don't bring it over here to hoops. Don't do that. Keep that shit over there with football. Keep that shit over there with baseball. And baseball, y'all really know better. Baseball is such a hypocrite sport because some of they best players of all time is not white. You know what I'm saying? But it is a whitewashed sport that is driven by Spanish. It's, come on, man. Come on. You know what I'm saying? So Cubans, Dominicans, nah, dog. Don't bring that shit over here to basketball. Don't bring that shit over here to basketball. Basketball, yeah, we got our own little inside jokes guarding a white boy. White boy can shoot, et cetera, blah, 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 because it's a dominated sport that's by black men. But at the end, we know who got game, the Larry Birds, the White Chocolates, John Stockton, the Detlef Shrimp, Tony Kukoc, Dirk, stop playing. Stop playing. So all this, it's like they want to hate Caitlin because she's so good. But that's at the same time, she has to respect that. Same thing with Angel Reese. I think because she is solid, and Angel Reese, I think they got her projected to get drafted in the top 10. But we know who going one. And if just set your bias and your hate to the side. If you go pick a WNBA team, don't matter what the roster says, and you got the number one pick in the draft, who are you taking? Are you taking Angel Reese or are you taking Caitlin Clark? We're not talking about based on needs. We're not talking about based on needs. We're just talking about a player for player, right? So that's all I'm saying. Like, at the end of the day, both things can be right. Both things can be right. That Caitlin Clark probably will go down as a top two college player of all time. But she didn't have the best team. You know what I'm saying? She never won in college. She never won a ring in college. But that never stops her from being, you know, one of the top ones. Angel Reese did win with one of the best teams. And she does have a ring. You know what I'm saying? So you got to respect that. You know, and you notice how all this attention has shifted away from the men's basketball. Purdue and UConn played last night. It was a solid game, but towards, I want to say, the second half starting, wasn't really much of a competition. You know what I'm saying? Purdue having one of the biggest centers we've ever seen in our lives. I've seen him on a couple of times dominate a possession, but it's like they could not feed him enough or whatever. Yeah, we're having one of the biggest and strongest players on the team, tallest players on the team, yet and still didn't come close to winning that chip. You know what I'm saying? I think they won by almost about 15. Wasn't close at all. Wasn't close at all. But everybody was locked in on that Iowa and the champions, South Carolina, man. Shout out to South Carolina. That's a beautiful story. Beautiful story. Now, I wanted to give my props to college basketball. It's over. I didn't really give them too much shine this year. The women's had more coverage than anything. My UCLA basketball men's team was extremely disappointing coming off the past couple of years. They've been in the tournaments. But I'm pretty sure I'll pick it up next year, man. This year was just college basketball. I mean, It says a lot, you know what I mean? Because they say in this draft that's coming up, it's going to be one of the worst drafts we'll probably see. And that's just a hypothesis because of the talent that's coming out. You never know who will step their game up, have a breakout, whatever the case may be. But the projections for this draft, upcoming draft, is to be pretty bad overall. So I really didn't miss anything. But I want to switch gears for a second inside the gym. And I want to talk about battle rap. And, you know, nobody has been under a rock. Everybody has been out and open. Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole, and Drake. Speaking of the Big Three, also known as the Big Three. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on the history of these three artists or anything like that. What you just need to know at a need-to-know basis is that they are most of the time they're referenced as the Big Three. They're combined together as the Big Three. You know, they came around the same time. They're basically like in the somewhat same draft class or whatever. And they've been compared to each other for years, for over a decade. They've been having subtle jabs and and subliminals thrown towards each other. In between that time, we've had records drop, we had verses drop. They've had side beefs with other artists, etc. And now we've gotten to a point where Kendrick gave us a surprise verse that kind of shook up the industry a little bit. Till this day, we're still talking about it. And this album dropped roughly, 3 weeks ago? Two to three weeks ago, where this current week, Metro and Future is supposed to be dropping another album, and people are expecting to hear something on that album as well. There's also rumblings of Drake dropping a response to KDOT. And recently, J. Cole came out and issued an apology directly to KDOT at his Dreamfest in front of his whole fan base, which was roughly 50,000 plus people. As a 41-year-old man, I totally understand where he came from. I thought that was major. I thought that was beautiful. I thought that was dope. And someone made a great point on Twitter. What if Big and Pac had a situation like this and settled it, kind of like how J. Cole settled it with KDOT? I love it and I respect it. And I see the angle that they did. Here's my thing. I don't give as much grace to people who act up and then instantly say, no, I'm sorry. And it's not to say that, well, at least they figured out that what they did was wrong. It's not about as much as what they did is how they went about doing it. You know what I mean? In this situation, Cole said some things on a track called First Person Shooter. And in a competitive way, which I want to get to in a minute, he said, hey, man, it's just me and Aubrey looking at each other as the GOATs, at least for this era. And KDOT responded to that. But this was more than just what J. Cole said on that album. I mean, on that record. It's more so of, hey, I'm KDOT. I'm the boogeyman. Y'all cast has been running from me our whole tenure, and I'm out here throwing another one. This one just happened to stick a little bit more and a little bit longer because the track itself is just phenomenal. They're playing the track everywhere. You can play this track literally anywhere. It's a hype track. Hell, it's a strip club track. You know what I mean? And when you got so many different demographics listening to the album, you have no choice but to respond to it. No choice but to respond to it. You know what I mean? So with that being said, like I said, as a 41-year-old, I thought the apology was dope. I respect the apology. But as a fan of hip hop, from the early ages of cats battling in the streets on a block to where battle rap is at now on stage, these cats are making money off of it. When you turn into a friend, we have friendly battles in sports and period. You know, whether it's with a ball, whether we racing, slap boxing in the backyard, playing video games, trying to break records in the video games, whatever the case may be. We used to try to get girls' numbers. Who can get the most numbers at the end of the night? Whether we going to the movies, we going to the mall. Hey, man, we going to the mall today. We about to catch the 40 up to the 40 bus to the Galleria, the South Bay Galleria. That was one of the popular malls where all the young kids would be at on a Saturday. You know what I'm saying? Go to the Eddie Bauer store, go to the food court, you know what I'm saying? Go to the Gap store, whatever the case may be, right? Who can get the most numbers, you know? Even when it came down to being at school and we bagging on each other, saying certain areas they would call it shooting, you know what I'm saying? Just talking about each other, jokes, you know what I'm saying? And we never use any type of excuse unless we really had something going on. It's like, bro, I don't feel like dealing with nothing right now. You know what I'm saying? And we respect that. But at the same time, dog, when you have said something and then you come out and apologize, you cannot expect for these jokes not to come. Something that we didn't deem that serious to blame or to use, I wouldn't say blame, but to use mental health about, right? That puts J. Cole in a different area when it comes to hip hop. This is going to scar him for a long time. And you know what, truth be told, it's going to be more of his fan base, and it's going to be more of the hip hop fan base overall that will not allow him to be in a certain space anymore. They're going to look at him different. I'm pretty sure he doesn't care. As long as he's in a good spot, that's all that matters, because nobody else should dictate how you should feel mentally and emotionally. But when it comes to this hip hop stuff, no, it's just like Drake. Drake will go down as one of the best artists of all time. But guess what he won't go down as? One of the best battle rappers of all time. It's an element within inside hip hop. That's why I said I'm not listening to nobody that's trying to change the rules of hip hop. The rules has never been an issue. Now, we've done certain things inside the culture that now when you look back at it, that was stupid. But when we're talking about battle rapping rules, that's if you deem to go there, those rules are already set in stone. You know what I'm saying? We know the difference between you rapping against your homeboy and you rapping against somebody that you don't like. We know. We could hear the venom. We could feel the venom. And J. Cole backed out of that. That part as an artist, as a hip hop fan, that's the part I don't respect. Is that you made it into a mental health thing to where now you want people to feel bad for you. And that's the way it sounds. That's the way it looks. Because if K-Dot was to come out right now and say something, they would deem him as a bully. You know what I'm saying? But just a week ago, literally just 7 days ago, actually since last Friday going into Saturday before the festival, everybody just knew that J. Cole was going to be a competitor to K-Dot. They even tried to lie about the 7-minute drill track that he made, which the beat did switch conductor. And I thought the beat switch was hard. In the beginning, I didn't really too much care for it. Second half of the song was pretty solid, but it still didn't do anything to where I was like, K-Dot has to respond. I went along with it, because shout out to King Germ, he's a J. Cole fan. I went along with it. All right, now, here's why, shout out to the Rap Roundtable. Now K-Dot has 2 weeks to respond. In my head, I'm thinking about, but to what though? He didn't really say anything. Now that we know that he came out and lied about his discography, he lied to y'all. He lied to his fan, which means the fan base just rolls with whatever he says. And I'm used to that because I know Lil Wayne fans. I know Drake fans. I know Future fans. Those are the fan bases that feel like their artists don't do anything wrong. And they can say the same thing about us K-Dot fans. But here's the thing. There is a truth. Like, yo, K-Dot takes a long time to drop. He took a time period. As an older guy, I'm like, well, this is not the space for him. He doesn't operate in the same space as J. Cole. And even I feel like J. Cole doesn't operate in the same space as Drake. Drake will catch a wave and go with it. He's almost, I mean, we talking about niggas that's in their late 30s, early 40s, and nigga, you making the same song for 22-year-olds. You know what I'm saying? K-Dot don't. He got a cult-like following, just like Cole got a cult-like following. Drake just probably has a bigger cult-like following. You know what I'm saying? And those fan bases are totally different. Maybe the J. Cole and K-Dot are somewhat similar, but none of those fan bases are similar to Drake's. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, what I'm talking about is competitive nature. And it's okay to know that when somebody is better than you, but in this sport, why even admit that? Just do your best. I respect you for going back and taking the L than you jumping in the ring and saying, I apologize for jumping in the ring in the first place. Nah, not with the venom that you was spitting. It's kind of like one of those things where you hit some cats, got away with it, but it really didn't do too much damage, and you know they on their way back. So you want to say sorry before it even get worse for you. I don't really respect that. That's what I'm saying, you know, so cool. That's no problem at all. Here's the thing, though. Drake hasn't responded word on the street is he's supposed to. I'm not sure what's his angle and how this is going to happen, but it'd be interesting to see how he goes about it. But at this point, people are giving Drake much more respect than they are with J. Cole. My oh my, how fast they turn on niggas, boy. I mean, I know I said what I said about him, how I don't respect it from an artist standpoint, like from a hip-hop fan standpoint. But don't be too rough on J. Cole just because, yo, he bowed out. It's more the fan base than it is the artist for me nowadays. It's the fan base that believe, and you know what? It's not being truthful. That's what it is. I can sit up here and tell you that Drake is going to put out way more number one hits than J. Cole and probably K-Dot combined, because he's going to make those pop club type records. And that's what's going to drive, that's what's going to help fuel the culture nonetheless. Why? Because it's music that's going to be played on the radio. The DJs is going to play it. You're going to hear these shits at parties, birthday parties, weddings, et cetera, et cetera. So obviously he's going to be able to make more hits. Now, music with substance to it, I'm going to leave that to J. Cole and K-Dot. But that's not going to get as much ears, because some certain tracks you're going to have to lyrically break down, or you're going to have to be in a mood to listen to that shit. And everybody don't want to be in that mood. Everybody's not mature enough to be in that mood. Everybody is not intelligent enough to go and break down lyrics and understand the reason for that verse or whatever the case may be. And it just don't hit. If it's not a bop, it's just not a bop, you know. But pick a side, stay on it. But also, it's okay being biased, but it's okay being telling the truth as well. Drake is going to go down as one of the artists that we remember all time. All three of them, to tell you the truth. They both made a major impact in this game. But we do all know the difference between the three. And that's pretty much it, man. That's pretty much it. Respect them. Respect them. J. Cole, man. Hey, J. Cole made an adult move. You know what I'm saying? So you got to kind of like, you got to respect it at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Battle rap. My oh my, had the times change. I know it's cats. Tupac and them is just rolling over in rolling over in a grave. Well, not Tupac, because I don't think he's in a grave.